Welcome back, Queens, to the Body Love Binge. I've got a special guest today, and you might know her because I posted about her. I've had a reading by her before. I'm going to read her bio and then introduce her to the podcast. So I have Luna with me, and Luna is an international astrologer and coach for spiritual women who want to manifest mystical lives through the language of astrology, transforming self-inquiry to a soul-purpose six-figure astrology business. Luna believes that through the deep understanding and exploration of your natal chart, mixed with ritual and metaphysical practices, is a secret code to embracing the unique aspect of your own magic, while embracing your offerings to serve others and manifest your dreams in the process. She has read the charts for thousands of people, and she would love to read for you too. So Luna, thank you for being here. Welcome.
Yay, thank you. I'm just like subtly eating my banana, but yes.
You do you.
Yeah, I'm here. Yay, thank you.
Of course. Well, I'm going to go into 10 quick fire questions. I think that's really fun. And I do that with all my guests. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, number one, your favorite food?
First thing that's coming to mind is sushi. But I'm a Pisces.
There you go. Number two, fave moon phase.
Ooh, that's a tough one. Probably the waxing crescent, so like after new moon.
Mm-hmm. Favorite tattoo? So I know you have many.
I have many. Probably my triple moon goddesses on my thighs.
Favorite time of the day?
The afternoon.
You? Describe self-love in three words.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry.
I just woke up. Oh my God. Self-love in three words. I'm like, I could say so much more than three words, but I think it's compassion, acceptance, and aliveness.
Love those. Describe yourself in three words.
Fun, loving, and creative. I don't know.
I know you a little bit, and I would say that's how I see you as well. So
great.
Okay, number seven, the best thing about what you do.
Oh gosh. Best thing about what I do is everything.
Okay, the opposite to that, number eight, what's the most challenging thing about what you do?
Getting 5 clients in one day.
Before we press record, Luna was like, so I've just woke up and I've got 5 clients booked today overnight.
It's a little much. It's okay, I'll go through it.
Number nine, you're ready for this early in the morning. What's your favorite sex position?
I actually like when my partner is just in full frontal view, whatever I can see him in.
Nice. And number 10, what do you want people to take away from this podcast before we have the conversation so they can have an inkling as to what's to come?
I guess just a curious or an interest or a deeper love of astrology. That's always my mission for the world.
Well, let's dive straight in because I know you've given me a reading and it will be the first of many. What is astrology? I want to ask you that first for those that don't know.
Yes. So astrology is essentially the tracking of the planetary movements as well as blending the seasons. So astrology, the one that I practice, isn't actually related off of the constellations, which gets people kind of tripped up. But that's a whole other conversation. But it's based off the seasons, which is loosely correlated to the constellations. But anyways, and apparently if you track the time someone was born and where they were born in the world, there's a lot to say about their lives, where you can predict everything from, their personality traits and who they are to love life and career and soul purpose and challenges and gifts, and basically everything is written in the birth chart. And this has been done actually for thousands of years. It's nothing really new. And it's just somehow it just works. And they say, like, as above, so below. And so it's not that the planets are necessarily doing things to us. It's more that they just reflect a story on Earth. And I've been trying to figure out how it works. And it's kind of like, I don't really know how a microwave works, you know, but I know that it heats up the food. It's kind of like that. Like if you really just try to understand it, it's really challenging. Some people try to, and some people claim to be successful, but I don't really think there's a full answer for like, how does this work? Because spirituality and like soul prediction and consciousness, like, isn't something that's quantifiable. So it, cause you know, it depends on a lot of the person receiving the information, right? Like, are they aware of themselves? Do they have that, has that part of them been activated? Blah, blah, blah. So, astrology is actually like an ancient esoteric, language. That's really what I see it as. Some people think it's a science, some people think it's spirituality, some people think it's astronomy with spiritual meaning. I actually just think it's a language at this point.
Yeah, I love the way you described that. And I heard one time, it might have been from you being interviewed by someone, I'm not sure, but I heard somebody say one time, and this helped, this was the most clearest description that I'd got from what astrology is and how it works with an individual. So when, I'm curious what you think about this, if it wasn't you that said it. So when an individual is born, let's say for myself, I was born on the 14th of April, 1987, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon in Derby, England. The second I was like birthed from the womb into the physical world, the imprint on me was the energies of what the world was at that time, where the moon was, where Saturn was, where people's consciousness was. And that was like imprinted into my cells energetically. Is that, does that make any sense or not?
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, you're totally right. Sounds like something I would say for sure.
You might have said it.
Yeah. I mean, that's also like relating stuff to transits. So basically your birth chart is a snapshot of the moment you were born. And so a lot of people just know like, oh, I'm a sun in Aries, but they don't really know like where the moon was when they were born, or Venus, or even the planetoid Chiron. So people, they don't know that it's like this whole huge map. It's not just where the sun was, but the sun is associated with the ego. So when you're not conscious or aware of this language, then most people just know the ego, the sun. But anyways, yes, that's completely true. When the planets are, they're always moving. And so when someone's born, like if someone's born today, they will get the birth chart of the planets currently in the sky. So it is the collective energy, but it goes into a specific person based off where you were born. And also, if that sounds kind of generic, it's not. Your birth chart is actually unique to you, and you will only have your birth chart, except for in 26,000 years, someone will also have your birth chart.
Oh, how interesting. I didn't know that. That's interesting. So how can, I mean, I've seen it help me in my life, but for those that have never had a reading before or don't know much about it, how can astrology or having a reading support yourself or the clients that you read for in their life? How does it help us?
Oh my God. I mean, I'll tell you, and then I want you to talk about your experience with me as well, because you gave me the sweetest video testimonial. So thank you so much for that. But I mean, for me, astrology has been the biggest permission slip and the biggest form of validation that I've ever been given in my entire life. I mean, even just thinking in a personal note, like when I found out my rising sign, so your rising sign is essentially your physical appearance and what you look like to others, and how it's basically your vibe. So it's like the flavor of your sun sign and how people see you, and just like, it's your personality in some ways more than your sun sign. I think your sun sign is more like your archetype and the role you're here to play and what you're here to do. And then the rising sign is like your physical body manifested. So I basically found out to me, late in life, like I found out maybe when I was like 19 or 20 that I was a Scorpio rising. And my whole life just started to make sense, like my whole life, because I never wanted to wear color. For example, I always wanted to wear black. And I remember like first putting black on my nails when I was like 9 years old, like inspired by Avril Lavigne and thinking I was the coolest person alive. And I just really wanted to embrace this darker, more gothic, punky part of me. But anytime I would wear like a little bit of color, like people be like, oh, wow, I love color on you. And oh, it goes great with your skin tone and this and that. And I'd be like, okay, I guess I have to wear color and this and that. And anyways, it just like unraveled this whole story about me the more I did research. And it gave me permission to just be gothic and to embrace like that part of me. And astrology has done that in literally all areas of my life. Like just personally, understanding my love life, like, oh my God, that's a whole other thing, you know, understanding how I behave in relationships, who I'm attracted to, why I'm attracted to them, what type of person is good for me. Mm-hmm. I literally have the chart of an astrologer, you know, like I can't even make that up. Like I, you know, just having like Aquarius placements and Pisces placements and ninth house placements and Mercury, like that's literally the chart of an astrologer. So it was telling me what I was supposed to do with my career, but then it also told me what my career would be if I wasn't doing astrology, which was literally what my career was.
Which was?
Oh my God. I mean, okay, so this is a little complex, but essentially I have my sun, which is in Pisces, I'm a Pisces, in the fourth house, which is an area of life. And the fourth house is the house of the home. It's like your roots, your ancestry, and where you come from. And then Pisces and the shadow side can rule substance abuse and addiction and love and empathy and all this. So I was literally working in homeless shelters for people who had substance abuse and addiction.
Wow.
Wow. So like just stuff like that. Like I would just like freak out when I would find out that. And, you know, my Chiron is your greatest wounding in life. And I saw, you know, that I was bullied in my birth chart and I was like, oh my God. And I was just flooded with compassion and love for myself and that I was here to experience, you know, this for whatever reason. And it's just been like endless answers to why, like, why am I the way I am? Why does life happen for me? And it also, like, in a more advanced level, allows me to trust my timing. And so my partner, we use astrology together, like that's our language. And he, you know, whenever I'm being weird or something, he'll be like, babe, it's just a transit, you know, don't worry, it'll pass. Like there's cycles, and we're able to communicate in a way that's like, okay, we have Mars moving into our house of relationships, so let's just be a little bit more gentle with each other at this time, you know, being aware we might fight with each other or might be tense or we might struggle with our sex life or we might be going through working really hard and not being super present with each other. And we can kind of predict these things, and it just makes it easier for our relationship, or makes it easier to understand, oh, why haven't I reached X goal like this person has, or why aren't I here, or how come I'm not there? It's because we all have our unique timing and our unique story that can be read like a book for some reason. And you know, I have been studying astrology for like literally 12 years. And it is a really complicated thing. And I do recommend, like, you know, hiring someone if you want to learn what yours means, because it does take like a hell of a lot of dedication, but it is really, really worth it. And it is just, yeah, it's the best. I don't even know.
It's so worth it. Everything. So what she said, and everything you said in terms of the permission slip, understanding, also when you were sharing what you've shared, and I'm reflecting on my reading, it helped me anyway to just surrender and relax into the timeline and surrender and relax into who you are. And then the two things that stand out for me that I want to share about my reading. Can you remember when you were, I think it was my Chiron you were speaking about, And we went into that, and then, and I said, I shared this breathing thing that I had, and you was like, that is literally linked to the lungs.
Gemini, yes.
Gemini. And then I have cold hands and feet, and that was linked somewhere to
circulation,
like,
yeah.
And it's just like, what the fuck? And then also my husband is a Taurus, and I think I write in believing that I have no Taurus in my sign whatsoever, and that's why I chose him, because he's a missing piece in my whole chart.
Yeah, the descendant line. Yes.
It's just insane. And then of course I'm writing my book, and then I can't remember what it was. Something has gone into the house of publishing for 18 months. And it just gives me, and from what you read, like my future, I guess, in a way, it gives me an even bigger permission slip, and like I'm on the right path. Even though I know I am, it's just an extra permission slip and an extra reassurance for where I'm going. So those of you that are liking what we're saying already, I know Luna is very busy, but book a reading with her. Trust me, it will be one of the best gifts you've ever given to yourself, because there's so much that you can share in a reading, right? And I'm excited to have a second one. So where do I want to go next? I'm just looking at the questions I have and where I intuitively want to go. So can you predict the future, which you did for me in a way, but is that a thing? Like, can you look at the chart, the astrology now, and then be like, in 2 years' time, this might happen for you in your birth chart?
100%.
Oh my God. How is that?
Okay. So what that is essentially is we're actually on a clock. So we have cycles and different timings for things. And this is especially true if you track what happened to you at certain times in your life, and you watch that planet kind of do the same thing, or it makes a similar aspect, then you can even more predict what happened from the past, because I don't know why, but things repeat themselves. Like, we have similar lessons that we have to go through. And sometimes it's like, oh, I think I've gone through that. And then, oh, I'm actually going through that again. And I'm like healing that again or whatever. So basically you can't really predict, like a good astrologer, I will say, will try and hit the dartboard, not the bullseye. So you want to kind of predict the themes or the planetary energy or the potential of what could happen, but you don't want to say, like, someone literally came to me and was like, oh, they said my mom was gonna die at this date, and and I was gonna come into a bunch of money and all this stuff. I'm like, you can't really say that, because you can't fully predict with astrology if something is going to be bad or good. You can only explain the archetypal energy. So you can only give words and descriptions of what could happen, but you can't really say, like, this is definitely going to happen. You know, you can only just explain, like, you know, for yours with the publishing, for example, I just said, like, this is the house of publishing. And it's also the house of travel and foreign countries and like expanding your reach and your knowledge and being seen in the public eye in a more educational sense. And you were like, that's literally what I'm planning on doing. So I didn't say, like, oh, your book is going to be super successful and are, you know, or,
which, oh,
your
book is going to, just saying.
of course, but you, as an astrologer, there's like ethics and stuff as well. Yeah. So it's a very balanced, like, delicate thing, but I don't want to say, oh, your book is going to be super successful and amazing, or, oh, your book's going to fail. But I'm going to say, like, there's the potential of a great thing happening here. And so, yeah, I just think, like, when you track the planetary cycles, you can see, like, it's so unbelievable. And I think that's why I love astrology so much, is because it continues to amaze me every day. And even if, like, if you want to just start in a super basic way, you can start to track the moon cycles. So there's an app that's just called, like, Full Moon, I think, or just any moon cycle. And it will tell you, like, today the moon is in Capricorn, or whatever, full moon in Capricorn, I don't know. And then you can track in your diary, like, how you feel on this day. Mm-hmm. And so you'll notice over the whole month that every time the moon is in Capricorn, either a Capricorn experience has happened to you or you feel a certain way based off of your chart. So the moon can even just govern like your daily life and what you're going to feel like. And so it's just the more you understand the language, the more you can predict things, essentially, because predicting is one of the highest levels of astrology. And I'm honestly just getting into it now because it's so complex and there's so many ethics around it, and, you know, understanding fear in astrology. And it's a very interesting domain, but you can totally predict the future. You can totally predict when someone's going to be successful in their business, or when they're going to meet a lover, or when they're going to be doing spiritual work on themselves, or when nothing is really happening. You know, like I did a reading the other day and I was like, I don't really see much like going on. Like I've never even said that, where it's just like, it's kind of chill like for the next year. And the person was like, yup, I'm kind of just chilling right now. And I was like, weird. That's like, even that's in the birth chart, you know?
Interesting, isn't it? And like what you were saying about the moon, if we think about it, the moon controls the whole tide of the oceans.
Mm-hmm.
And we as humans are electromagnetic beings. So of course the energy from the moon, for example, can help us feel a certain way. And so with that, with tracking the moon and understanding and reflecting on how we feel, are they, you know how people talk about the Mercury retrograde?
Yes.
And that happens quite often, doesn't it? Because people blame it on technology going wrong. Like, what's all that about? What does that mean?
Right. So yeah, I'm just laughing because there's this comedian in my town, and he's a friend of ours, and he's kind of hard to be around sometimes, but he really wants to connect with me, but he's always making fun of me with like astrology jokes, because I'm getting a bunny coming in, and I kind of like confided in my roommates that I was a little worried that the bunny had a moon in Sagittarius. I was like, what if the bunny is like really free spirited and like wants to just like, you know, do its own thing, and just like, and I want it to be like really snuggly and loving. And anyways, that comedian, he just couldn't let up with that. Like he was like, I'm gonna go on stage and do a bit about that. And I was like, whatever. And then I was going to a party and I saw he saw me, and he poked his head out and he was like, hey, Luna, like I have a joke for you. And he's like, why does it always feel that Mercury's retrograde? And I was just like kind of in a grumpy mood. And I was just like, I looked at him and I was like, Mercury goes retrograde 3 times a year. And then he just looks at me and his smile kind of faded. And then he like went into the party and I was like, oh no. But anyways, yeah. So what that means is essentially the planets, as I was saying, like they have cycles, they have timings, they have certain transits. And the reason that everybody knows about Mercury retrograde, or they blame it or whatever, is because it so literally shows up in people's lives. And so if you think about the astronomy of what this phenomenon is Mercury is going through a cycle. It's very closely connected to the sun and it's doing its thing and it's going round and round from our point of view on Earth. And then there's a point where it actually speeds up and it goes so fast that it ends up going backwards. It just from a perspective of our view on Earth, but doesn't actually go backwards, but it looks like it does. So the normal significations of Mercury would now be going backwards. So which is retrograde, that's what retrograde means. Mm. And so essentially the significations of Mercury become retrograde. So Mercury rules technology, communication, thought, speech, appointments, short distance trips and travel. So when it goes retrograde, it supposedly goes wonky. And so, you know, you're supposed to back up your technology at this time. You're not supposed to launch a group program or like launch anything in your business at this time, because you might have technology glitches, or you might lose everything, or you might have trouble signing people up. You know, you miss appointments or like, you know, you go to a massage appointment and you're like 10 minutes late and then the masseuse is like, hey, sorry, I can't see you, you know, you're late. And that's very Mercury retrograde and people just freak out. But really, it's so much more complicated than that, because you have to see where you have Mercury in your chart. And only then will you feel its effects based off of your chart. Because sometimes Mercury retrogrades happen and I don't feel anything. Like, I'm like, I'm doing fine, you know? Yeah. And then sometimes, like, when Mercury is hitting my Mercury, then I'm like, feel personally attacked by Mercury retrograde. So it really just depends on your birth chart. And so, yeah, that's, for some reason, that particular phenomenon got really popularized and people love to, like, oh my God, Mercury retrograde, like, I, technology's all weird. But actually, like, I use Mercury retrograde to revisit and revise my current thoughts. So because Mercury, when it's retrograde, everything is internalized. So this is a more individual way, instead of the collective way is like technology and this and that. But it's like Mercury wants to go forwards, right? And so when it goes backwards, then we have to like internalize the Mercury things. So I use that time to like rewrite content or pieces like that, or like I revisit my courses, or I'm really like being slow and giving myself extra time for my appointments. I'm really compassionate if people are late or things are kind of funny. So astrologers essentially would plan for this time to basically not do a launch or something and then wonder why it's not going well. So they track the movement to see like when things would go well, when things are a little bit sticky. And then there's like space for the times that are more challenging. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it really does. And thank you for sharing both perspective, like an internal perspective and an external perspective. It's really helpful. I have a random question. Why is the saying men are from Mars, women are from Venus?
Yeah, I love this question. Actually, nobody's ever asked me this. Well, quite literally in astrology, Mars is represented by like our primitive state. So I have a whole course on Mars and Venus, which is like love and lust in astrology. But anyways, Mars is our primitive masculine part of us and how we show up in relationships. So, you know, when you're walking down the street and you're like, oh, like that guy's just so fucking hot, like that's your Mars. You can't really control Mars. So Mars is like your sexuality. It's your energy. It's your drive. It's your purpose. It's your mission. It's what you get angry about. So what you would get defensive about. It's kind of funny how Mars represents like sex and violence. Like, I think it's really interesting that Mars would rule. You're actually ruled by Mars.
I am.
your planet. And then Venus is more like your feminine in relationship. So it's your female, womanly, whatever genderized thing you want to call it, of you in relationship. And so essentially, Venus is like your morals and values and like what's really like what you're attracted to and like what's beautiful and how you spend your money and what you do with your partner, you know, that feels really nourishing. And it's Venus is like how you, you know, spend money in general, like what you do with your money. Like, do you like to spend it luxuriously, or do you spend it towards like building a home and stability? And so there's different ways you can show up in relationship. And those are the two planets that I look to the most to see like what your ideal partner is, which is kind of Venus. And then Mars would be like your sexuality, what you're like attracted to and what makes you angry. So that's like the Venus is literally women. Yeah. In your life, as well as the moon. And then Mars is like all the masculine qualities. It's like hyper exacerbated versions of that, if that makes sense.
It does. That's why I love you as well, because you explain it just so clearly.
Great.
You use words and you use the astrology talk, but I still understand what you're saying.
Great.
So for me, so you said I'm ruled by Mars. For those that don't know, that's because my sun is an Aries, right? And with me having a Leo rising,
yes.
What does that? So what's Leo ruled by?
The sun.
Oh, the sun. Okay.
Yeah, the sun is the center of our universe, right? And we love the sun. I love the sun. The sun is the best. And so that's why Leo actually carries qualities of the sun. It's seemingly eternal. It's a life-giving force. It's shining brightly. So I'm always like a little bit jealous of Leo risings. I have a Leo moon. So Leo risings are just amazing because they're basically the sun, right? So they're walking around and they just are shining. They just are amazing. They just have talent and gifts. It's a very like benefic, nice, easier placement. You know, it's obviously everybody wants to be kind of like born in the summertime rather than if you think of the qualities of like being born in winter. And I'm not like hating on, you know, Capricorns or anything. My partner's a Capricorn. It's actually my favorite sign, but there's a bit more of a like colder, restrictive, hardworking, integral, quiet quality that gets embodied by the winter versus like Leo, for example, is embodied by the sun. So then in the summertime, so there would be more like summer qualities to Leo.
Yeah. And so with Aries, which is my sun sign, just making this all about me, by the way, but people can obviously have their chart read by you. Because that is the springtime, is that why I'm ruled by the masculine energy Mars? Because it's like creation, doing things, like creating things, I guess.
Yes, you 100% said it. If you think about spring, it's so interesting because there's actually this warrior archetype to Aries, and people are like, it's the sacred warrior. And it's like, yeah, but what does that mean? You know, so if you think about like a bud that is like sprouting out from the dirt, it actually is like, ugh, like I fucking did it. You know, I made it through winter and I'm also going to, you know, get rid of any competition nearby and I'm going to sprout through and I'm going to get the sun and I'm going to, you know, blossom into a flower, right? So, or whatever, a tree, I don't know. And so that symbolism is like, it's the birth, it's the newness, it's the fight, it's the pushing through, it's the goal setting, it's all symbolized through the seasons, which is what I was like explaining before with how it's not really related to the constellations, but it is. You can see the archetypes in like, once you really understand the zodiac wheel and the archetypes, you can see it everywhere. Like you can see it in people, you can see it in animals, you can see it just in your daily life if you have all the seasons where you live, and it's so interesting.
I love it all, and it makes so much sense. But this is why I recommend everyone get a reading, because what you've said about the sun, Leo, because I'm Leo rising, people literally say to me, there's a thing on Instagram that I've been tagged in about 20 times that says, tag someone who is sunshine in human form, and like get tagged. Shut so up. Much because they're literally like, you are literally the sun. And I'm like,
no,
okay, thank you.
No, I'm dying. Okay. You know, seriously. What else you do? You say hi, queens.
Yeah.
You know, like hello, queen. And that literally, Leo is the royal archetype, right? It's like literally the king and queen of the zodiac sign. So I know.
So cool.
Yeah.
And I see myself. So as you can see on my Zoom, it says queen is my pronoun, right? Which isn't a pronoun at all.
Wait, is it actually? I don't even
do you not see it?
God. Can you see it? Yeah, I see it now. I'm dying at that. I'm fully dying.
Like, because I see myself as a queen.
Yeah, of course. That's your archetype, right? That's the flavor of your Aries sun, right? Is the queen.
Wow.
It's the royal archetype. I know. I can't even make this shit up. That's what's so amazing. Yeah, me and my partner, we have so much fun, like, because we obviously know this language and he's really good at astrology just from dating me for 6 years. And he's never even picked up a book, but he's Pisces moon. So he's very good At this stuff, and like we were laughing because we were in this Halloween maze thing, and there was two people who literally had this sweater that said king and queen, like a couple. And you know, my partner turns to me, he's like 100% like Leo rising, and like the other one's Libra rising, and I was like, boom. Yeah,
that is so funny.
It's really funny. Like I'm also known for guessing people's signs, like that's kind of my thing. But I think it's just so obvious, like sometimes, like, you know, even just like the queen, like in brackets queen, I'm just like, that has to be a Leo rising, you know. It just has to. But it's not your sun sign in a way. Yep. Like there's a difference.
Yeah.
So a lot of people get confused with like the sun sign and the rising sign.
Yeah. So the sun sign is, like you said, the more of my personality.
No, the opposite. The rising sign is your personality. The sun is like your conscious ego identity. So it's kind of like when you wake up in the morning and Victoria is like, you know, on her mission and doing her thing. It's like, that's the archetype of Aries. But then the flavor of that Aries is Leo.
Yes.
So people would see more of the Leo, but you would feel like you're here to be an Aries, if that makes sense.
Makes
so yeah, like even just a quick other example, like I'm a Pisces, right? And Pisces literally rules spiritual service. Yeah, I know. So quite literally, like my whole life, I've been giving spiritual, my whole fucking life. But the flavor of how I do that is Scorpionic. So I'm pretty dark. I'm pretty intense. I'm very reflective. I'm transformative for people. You know, I look like witchy or whatever. So that's like the flavor of the sun, if that makes sense.
Okay, I have last question for you. And everyone else can get their own reading, because I would make it all about me, and it's just so interesting. My moon is a Libra.
Yes.
I know you've told me this before, but so others can hear as well, like, what's that ruled by, and then what does that mean for me if I have a Libra moon?
Libra moons are interesting people, for sure. Some of my favorite, one of my best friends has a Libra moon, and she's like an angel. But so Libra is ruled by Venus. So honestly, you have a pretty lucky trio, if I'm being completely honest. Like, you know, you're literally, Aries is exalted when it's in the sun, because it's really like, fuck yeah, I'm an Aries. Like I can get shit done. Like I have goals to achieve, you know, springtime baby, let's go. Versus like when the sun is in like Scorpio, or when it's like in a, it's kind of like, whoa, like what am I doing in this sign? You know, it's like, it's pretty dark and like intense out there. Or like even when the sun is in Aquarius, like Aquarius rules we and groups of people. So when the sun is in like we, for example, it's kind of like, okay, what are we doing today? Versus Aries sun is like, okay, what am I doing? And the sun wants to be more I focused. But anyways, and then, you know, of course you have the sun also ruling you. So you also have Leo, which is like generally an easier archetype. And then Libra is ruled by the planet of love and beauty. So it's pretty chill, right? It's pretty nice. And Libra, the moon sign is what you need to feel safe. Okay. So it's like, if you're feeling ungrounded or just unsafe in general, that's, you look to the moon sign. If you get emotionally reactive, look to the moon sign. It's, your moon is like your inner world, and what you, it's like your desires to feel safe. That's really what it means. So when it's in Libra, that rules partnership and love. So being in relationship would actually make you feel whole and safe. And being in love and having beautiful things around you and being beautiful and just being aesthetic. that's like really important for Libra. I lived with a Libra and the walls were painted like weird colors when I moved in with her. And she just like couldn't handle it. She was like, I'm going out there, I'm buying paint. Like it just needs to be aesthetic. But yeah, and also just there's an emotional sensitivity to fairness and balance and having things like weigh out, especially in partnership. And I find the moon in Libra people can be a little confused if they're not in partnership or they're not in love. They're kind of like, who am I? Because the moon represents the other person. So your heart would actually be like, okay, but what do you need? How are you doing? But then Aries rules the self, so which is the opposite axis of Libra. So then it kind of balances out the self and other. But sometimes if there's this like too much Libra in the chart, then people are just like, they fall into the people pleasing tendencies, or they stay kind of small, or they just want like love and peace and they just don't want to make an issue. So I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, I could hear you talk for ages. So the last thing I would say is, how can people book a call with you? Because I know you're busy, right? And where can people, obviously I'll link everything below as usual, but where do you hang out most social media wise?
Yes. Thank you so much for promoting me. You're very sweet. Yeah. You can book a reading with me in my link in bio. And I'm definitely mostly on Instagram. Apparently, I'm pretty big on TikTok. I don't really go on there much, but I have an obnoxiously large following on there. And I just don't know how to utilize that space. But anyways, I'm on Instagram. I'm Luna Veronica Mystic. You have to look for the blue check mark. And yeah, you can book in my link in bio. I do book up fairly in advance, but I have whole different types of readings. You know, I'm also going to be offering travel readings or relocation readings soon with astrocartography. So you can see like your planetary energy where in the world, different parts of the world. And yeah, I just have so many different offerings around love and business and just a reading in general. So yeah, you can check that out on Instagram. That's my thing.
And you do couple readings as well, don't you? If someone wanted to bring their partner on, you sit with both of them and then do a couples reading.
Totally. Those are really interesting.
I can imagine. And helpful. I guess it's almost like relationship coaching in a way.
Yep. Totally. Because you can see the relationship dynamic. Like I'm literally just predicting the relationship. And usually it's always the woman that wants the reading. And so the man's kind of like, oh my God. Yeah. Cause it's very personal. Right. And so, yeah, you can see the sex life, you can see what they get mad about. You can see like the harmony, you can see where the couple's going, like where, if there's like a future together or not. Like, I mean, I would never say like, oh, you're going to break up, but you can see like what the mission is for the couple. And yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah, I bet. And I can imagine like most of my listeners are in eating disorder recovery. So whether that's from anorexia, bulimia, binge eating, a lot of body image stuff, a lot of trauma, I mean, you're the expert. I think it will be helpful if they had a reading for them to perhaps understand why, because you obviously go into like a bit of the past, and then it might help them to look to the future and to see, you know, their healing journey perhaps.
Yeah, I actually like, I did want to talk about that with you because that's in the birth chart, 100%, you know, eating disorders and stuff like that. Like even just like Taurus rules food. So you can see your relationship to food just by looking at Taurus, like where's Taurus in your chart? You know, Taurus is ruled by Venus. So where's Venus in your chart? Is it like have a challenging aspect? Or the sixth house? The sixth house is the house of health and wellness. You know, do you have placements there? What about Chiron, right? Chiron is your greatest trauma or your wounding in life. I've seen a lot of people who have eating disorders with Chiron and Taurus, you know, or stuff like that. So, because Taurus also literally rules the body, which is the same with other earth signs. So there is a lot, there's a lot of things that you can see in the birth chart. And obviously I don't just necessarily full on predict that unless I really, really feel it or I really, really see it and I'm really confident in that, then I will bring it up. But a lot of times I'll give the significations and then the clients will just affirm that,
yes,
this is what it is, you know? And then I'm like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Wow. And there's a whole healing process that happens just from consciousness and awareness. That's what I love about astrology, is that you don't have to do anything. Like, there's no like crazy exercise or this or that. It's like, you literally just, it's like the process of awakening. It's like a soul retrieval and acceptance. And that's what I love about astrology, is that it's so, it's kind of effortless in some ways. Like, you know, if you're with an astrologer, you don't really have to do anything. You just have to show up for the call, and then the transformation just like naturally happens.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, I could speak to you all day. I'm going to let you go to your busy day. It's written in the stars, isn't it? Everything is written in the stars, down to the way you meet somebody and all of that. So thank you for your wisdom, for your time, for your energy, Luna. Sending you so much love. And we'll speak soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.